Now we come to part 7 of our discussion about the third life. Just on the verge of starting our fourth life, inshallah. And before going to paradise, there is one last stage, which no one can go to paradise unless and except passing through this. You know, when we pass over the Sirat, and we have to stay there for a while to purify and to get the benefit of all those acts that we have performed here inefficiently. If we have performed our Salat inefficiently, we have to stay on Sirat for a while to get the real benefit of Salat and then move on. When we pass the Sirat, it's just like a dish you have washed, but there are still specks of germ on it. There are still specks of certain impurity in the heart, and this should be washed away. And this is done only and only by the help of the prophets. No one else can do this. And the prophets, at the last stage, stand there to purify the heart with their very, very pure soul, and of course, what they are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this. Now, what is this? This is, in Islam, of course, every religion have this. It is called the water of Kawthar coming to a pond. We talk what Kawthar is and what that pond is. This is called Hawzul Qudus, the holy pond. The holy pond. And as I said, the remaining specks of impurity still persisting in the soul is washed away by the prophets here. As I said, you cannot be admitted to paradise before you are absolutely pure. So you can imagine what sort of place is that. It's very good. Good company, isn't it? حَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Very good companies you will have. You love everyone you meet there. You love them because they are the purest of the pure. Because they are all purified. Have been purified. So, this hadith in Kanzul Ummal, which is very famous, of course, Sunni source I mentioned to you before. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلَهِ أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَيَرَدُونَ حِيَاذَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. No, this is not one pond. There are many ponds. And every prophet has a pond. That is, has something by which he would wash away the impurity of his followers. Beware that the friends of God will arrive at the ponds of the prophets. After they pass the Sirat, they arrive there. They are thirsty of absolute purity. And then they are given that goblets of this purifying water by the prophets. As I said, this can only be done by them because they are the purest of the pure. For Muslims, this is done by means of prophets' immense purity and through Ali, as we have in many traditions, that he will dispense these goblets on that day. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِحَوْضِي فَلَا أَوْرَدَهُ اللَّهُ حَوْضِي وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِشَفَاعَتِي فَلَا أَنَا لَهُ اللَّهُ شَفَاعَتِي. This is a very beautiful expression. Anyone does not believe, not believing in my pond, let them not drink from my pond. Anyone not believing in my shafa'ah, let them not obtain my shafa'ah. If they don't want it, how can I force them to get it? If they want it, then they can come and get it. Okay. The Prophet also said regarding Ali, فَإِنَّهُ صَاحِبُ حَوْضِي. He is the authority of my pond. Just like, you see, you make correspondence. As I said, everything in this world has a correspondence in the next world. In this world, the Prophet said, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا. I am the city of knowledge, Ali is the gate. فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَ فَلْيَعْتَهَا مِنْ بَابَهَا. Whoever once the city, once the knowledge should come from the gate. The pond belongs to the Prophet, but whoever wants it should get it from Ali, peace be on him. The source of this pond, what is the source of this pond? Where does this water come from? Is a river in paradise called Al-Kawthar. Now, some exegetists have said that the hadith, that the ayah which says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar," we have given you kawthar, actually refers to this. Now, if we come back to the discussion that we had all through, yes, that is the correspondence of all the khair that Allah has given to the Prophet in this world. It transpires to be that kawthar. Which one is first, which one is second, which one comes first, which one comes last, we don't know. It's this sort of order, things which are in this world corresponds to things which are in paradise or in hell. But which would cause which one? It's difficult to say, of course very complicated. I don't want to enter this discussion. Al-Kawthar Nahrun Min Al-Jannah. This is again in Kanzul Umman. Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise. The two banks of it are from gold. Now, why all gold, silver, ruby, diamond? We'll discuss this. These are actually manifestations of spiritual things. Physical and spiritual, they merge into each other in a way. We'll discuss later on. Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise. The two banks of it are from gold. Its river bed is from ruby and pearl. Its soil is more fragrant than musk. And its water is sweeter than honey and whiter than snow. And this river belongs to the Prophet, peace be on him, as I will discuss. However, do we have any reference to this in the Quran? Maybe. Maybe in Surah A'raf, we have a reference to this pond and this river flowing outside paradise. Now you may say, how is it possible? A river in paradise flowing outside paradise. Now look at this verse. This is when the mu'minun are coming from all the hardship of Qiyamah just before entering paradise. When, of course, we have the A'raf and the people on the A'raf, who we don't know who they are, very high ranking people, they issue permission for people to go to paradise. اُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. They issue permission that now you can go into paradise. Who they are, certainly should be in rank of prophets or imams. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رَجَالٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ. Between the people of the hell and paradise, there is a veil. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رَجَالٌ. On top of these veils are men. يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِمَاهُمْ. They know every person by their face. And then, after some discussion, they say, أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ. These people who were somehow downgraded in your eyes in the previous world, you thought that Allah is not going to include them in His mercy. أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Now you can go into paradise. Now, before that, the verse says, نَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We take out, we will remove whatever rancor there is in their breasts, in their hearts. This is, as I said, the specks which still remain. In hadith we have, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ تَكَبُّرٍ. No one would enter, anyone having one atom, the weight of one atom of arrogance in the heart, cannot enter paradise. As I said, because it's impossible. It ruins the paradise. So what, if this is the case, who would enter paradise? Yes, this will be brought out. This is now the finishing touch of God. This cannot be achieved by us. These specks of arrogance, no matter whatever we do, no matter what process we go through, this is not our job anymore. This is the act of God, the finishing touch. And that's why God says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ. We remove it now. Any specks of rancor and arrogance, we remove it. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ. Now rivers are flowing. Where these rivers come? They haven't entered paradise yet. Probably this is the river coming to the pond of the Prophet. And this ghal is taken away by that water drank from that pond. And streams will run for them. They will say, all praise belongs to Allah who guided us to this. We came all through on the threshold of paradise. We would have never been guided had not Allah guided us. Our Lord's apostles have certainly brought the truth. And the call would be made to them, this is paradise. وَنُودُوا أَن تَلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now, تَلْكُمُ الْ, when something is far away. That is paradise. Now you can see it. You can see the walls. You can see. You just after drinking from this water, cooling down, all the impurity gone, then go. Go towards the paradise. وَنُودُوا أَن تَلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. The translation is a bit slightly not accurate, because it should be, this is paradise, that is paradise, that you can see from far, which you have been given to inherit because of what you used to do. So, this river is owned by the Prophet in paradise, and he makes it flow. What does it mean, he makes it flow? That is in Surah Dahr, isn't it? إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. Aynan, there is a spring in the paradise. Yashrabu biha ibadullah. Ibadullah drink from it. Yufajjirunaha, they make it flow. So whatever is in paradise is actually what you initiated. What you initiated. Those palaces and rivers of honey, and it's all you have made it flow. You have created it for yourself. As I said, spiritual and physical merged there. You see the manifestation of everything spiritual in physical environment, and you see everything physical in your heart, the manifestation, spirituality of it in your heart. And that's why no matter you enjoy the physical or enjoy the spiritual, it comes to one thing at the end. And this is very explicit, again in Kanzul Ummal. The Prophet said, وَأَعْتَانِيَ الْكَوْثَرْ نَهْرًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَسِيلُ فِي حَوْضِي. He has given me Al-Kawthar, a river in paradise, which flows into my pond. So before getting into paradise, you have to drink something from paradise. That means you have to become of the kind and type of paradise before you can enter. So that you get used to it. You have to somehow be acclimatized to the environment of paradise, which is very different from what you have experienced up till now. You have been somehow helped to crawl, to come. There you grow up. You grow up. You become something like, as the hadith says, an example of God. Something like that. Now you want to go there. So lots of preparations. أَلَا وَأَنِّي فَرَتُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ وَارِدُونَ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ حَوْضِي غَدًا وَهُوَ حَوْضٌ عَرْضُهُ مَا بَيْنَ بُصْرَى وَسَنْآ فِيهَا أَبْدَاهٌ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ عَدَدَ نُجُومِ السَّمَاءِ. This is in Khisal of Shaykh al-Saduq, a Shi'i hadith now. Up till now we were just examining the Sunni hadith about it. This is a Shi'i hadith. Beware, I leave before you and you will arrive at my pond tomorrow. So if you don't see me anywhere, all through Barzakh and on the Day of Judgment, this is our appointment. If you make it to the pond, that's all. That's finished. If you make it to that pond, that's finished. You meet the Prophet there. Its width is like the distance between Sana'a and Busra. Busra is in Syria, Sana'a is in Yemen. You know, all these, of course, size and distance which are mentioned here just to imply the hugeness of everything there. In it are goblets of silver like the number of stars of heaven. Now, something for you to rejoice. Of course, for us to rejoice.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليتني أرى إخواني ورودا على الحوض. I'm eager. I wish to see my brothers coming to my pond, waiting for them. And I will receive them with cups of drink to satiate them before entering paradise. Of course, this satiation is not physical satiation, although it has that manifestation as well. He was told, oh, messenger of God, the ashab said, Ya Rasulallah, walasna ikhwanuk, aren't we your brothers? So you say, I wish to meet my brothers on the pond. He said, no. Antum ashab, you are my companions. Ikhwani man amana bi walam yarani. My brothers and sisters, of course, those who believe in me while they haven't seen me. The Prophet is eager, waiting for us there on the pond to meet us, and of course we are eager as well, if we can make it, if we deserve it, inshallah. Okay. As it was mentioned, every prophet should help his nation with his pond. As I said, this whole process is not only for Muslims, it's for everyone. And every nation has had prophets, has had guidance, وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٍ. So this pond is something which supports nations of every prophet. إِنَّ كُلَّ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ قَائِمٌ عَلَى حَوْذٍ. Every prophet stands by a pond full of water with a staff calling those who recognize of his ummah. Anyone he recognizes, he calls to that pond. And that's why I said, Muslims, Christians, Jews, they are separate, even here on the pond. And in paradise, of course, they will be separate as well. Except, of course, there are exceptional cases. Every ummah has a sign on their face by which their prophet knows them. When I say they are separate, I don't mean that some of them, for example, every member of one community has preference over every member of another community. No. The reason is because they have followed a huge soul which has made them somehow attracted to that huge soul. And all souls of prophets, of course, are different from each other. Don't think that we can make it to paradise without those huge souls. They have to take us with them. Anyone thinking that we can make it without them is wrong. It's not possible. As we couldn't be guided without them here, we cannot go to paradise without them. We need their help. Now, entering paradise. Of course, I have a very long hadith of how we are inducted into paradise, which, of course, I couldn't translate. It's very long. However, if we have time, we will go through that induction. That's very interesting, how people are inducted to paradise by their own angels. However, there are certain features of paradise. First of all, when we talk about paradise, we don't talk about one garden or something like that, that we go for picnic. No, that's very different. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله الجنة مئة درجة ما بين كل درجتين كما بين السماء والأرض. The paradise has 100 degrees of grades. And between each grade, there is the distance between the heaven and the earth. So, it's not just one place where everyone goes. Not just one place where everyone would get the same degree. And when here he said the 100, I don't think this is just to mention an exact number. It's meant to imply the numerous grades which are there in paradise. However, in the Quran, two very distinct places of paradise are mentioned, isn't it? Jannatul Muqarrabun, Jannatul Ashab al-Yamin. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, it says, والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم. The سابقون, those who are ahead of everyone in spirituality, they are in Jannatul Na'im.
ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ. A huge number of people from the people of the past and a small number from the posterities, from us. Not, of course, people of the past were more inclined towards the spirituality than we are now. The more we gain knowledge, the more we become arrogant and the more we distance ourselves from God. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Well, when the apostles came, they became somehow deceived by the knowledge that they had, and they started to reject the prophets. This is what we do. Anyhow, and then after Allah mentions this, describes this paradise of Muqarrabun, then he says, وَأَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ فِي سَدْرًا مَخْضُودٍ. They have a different paradise. Now, of course, more explicitly, we have in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَلَمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. For whoever fears the position of his Lord, there are two gardens. Of course, two gardens or two paradises, one for ins, one for jinn, because the surah addresses both ins and jinn. Then after describing that, it says, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا, and below them are two paradises, جَنَّتَان, مُدْحَامَّتَان, and describes it. So there are two very distinct paradises or areas in paradise. One is for Muqarrabun, one is for Ashabul Yameen. As our lives here are absolutely different. Absolutely different. Now, what are the specialities of Jannatul Muqarrabun? It is based on a knowledge which Ashabul Yameen can never acquire. A knowledge of God that they can never acquire. As the difference in this world between Ashabul Yameen and Muqarrabun was that knowledge. So don't think that when we say, well, okay, inshallah, all of us go to paradise, don't think that those who are fearful of God, stand in vigil all night, fast every day or every other day or something like that, and they spend all their life in dedication and devotion to God, would be similar to someone who is forgiven and let in to Jannah after the fashion. No. Of course, all of them are saved. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Whoever keeps away from hell and enters paradise, as soon as you set your foot on paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ. This is prosperity. However, not similar. Certainly not similar. So these degrees are there. Now one question. We love many people in this world. We love to be with them. When we go to the next world, of course, some of us would go to some degrees, some others would go to other degrees. If we are admitted in paradise, inshallah, and all of us will be admitted in paradise. I just want to mention this to reassure myself that inshallah we'll do. However, in paradise it said, whatever they wish, they have. So I wish to be with those who were with me in this world, my companions. But they are in different degrees. If they are lower, there is a chance. Someone asked Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam that if a husband and wife both go to paradise, but one is of a higher degree and one is of a lower degree, can they live together? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam said that it depends on the one who is on the higher degree. If he or she wishes to live with this one which is low, on the lower degree, then Allah will raise the degree because of that wish. Because of that wish. Bring her or him up. Now, I don't know if a husband and wife would ever want to do that, but anyhow. So, and the question is, what about that one who lives in the lower degree? If he or she makes such a wish, would it be granted? No. How could someone in a higher degree be brought down to a lower degree? It's not possible. So there are two possibilities here. One is that The one in lower degree would never wish that because it's outside the capacity of the faculty of his or her wish. It's outside it. It's not possible. They live in completely different worlds. Or the second is that yes, they can have companionship, but they live in two completely different worlds. In two completely different worlds. Just like us here in this world, isn't it? We have companies of each other, but we may live in completely different worlds. People lived with Imam Ali or with the Prophet, but they completely lived in two different worlds. إِذَا كَانُوا فِي الْغَافِلِينَ لَمْ يُكْتَبُوا مِنْهُمْ. If the awliya Allah are in among the ignorant ones, Allah doesn't write them with the ignorant ones because they are living in two completely different worlds. However, there is one thing which is mentioned. I will come to that, inshallah, later on. Loving, liking, wishing is all based on congruity of similarity of souls. So you never love someone which is not similar to your soul or to your sort of station which Allah has placed you. And that's why everyone is granted their wishes, because their wishes are quite similar to the position and situation which they have. We will discuss this later. Now, let's see some features of paradise. What features we can, of course, these are not exhaustive, just what can just come from top of our minds. First, slaying the death. There's a hadith that the death is brought on the sirat and is slaughtered, so that people of the hell and people of paradise all would see that death is death. What does that mean? Of course, this is a metaphor. That means this attitude of temporality is taken away from us. And in place comes the attitude of eternality. We cannot think about it. Now it's impossible for us. It's just like if we want to think ourselves out of time. It's not possible. Whatever the different aspects and sides of our mind can only think in terms of temporality. Everything is temporal for us. Although we forget it, but subconscious is always aware of that, that everything is temporal. Now, when we enter paradise, the attitude is absolutely changed. We get the feeling of eternality. What does that mean? Of course, that is the attribute of God, isn't it? Eternality is something which only belongs to God. And in this world, we see everything perishes one after another. We are used to this temporality, but there, nothing perishes, nothing goes away. So we get this idea of eternality. Now look at this conversation between people of paradise. In Surah Saffat, there are a couple of people in paradise discussing with each other the previous world, what happened to them. And that means in paradise we do not forget what we did here. And the beauty of it is that every time, whatever we do, we remember what we did before. And either it was something that Allah graced us with or something Allah forgave us for. And that's why we are here. And this makes the whole pleasure much bigger. كُلَّمَا رُزَقُوا. You see, this memory of this world is always with people of both paradise and hell. Memory of this world is always there. And that's why in Surah Baqarah we have كُلَّمَا رُزَقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزَقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابَهًا. Whatever they are given, they just remember this world. Oh, look, this is similar to what we had in the other world. Or this is based on that. Or this is because of that. Now, here two people in paradise are discussing about one of them, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. One of them says that I had a friend all the time was nagging at me and scolding me or ridiculing me, do you really believe in all this rubbish that people would die and then they will come back and all these things? And then he says, can we go and look where he is now? And they فَطَّلَعَ فَرَعَهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. The other feature, whatever you want you can see. You can see the hell, you can see the state of people, whatever. As soon as you turn your attention to something, you see it. And that's why the idea of place is absolutely changed. You don't need to go anywhere. You just turn your attention, you are there. You don't need to go and visit. You just turn your attention, you are with people. And this is what the Surah Safat says. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُتَّلِعُونَ Shall we pay attention? فَاتَّلَعْ Then they turn their attention. فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ They see him in the middle of the hell. Then at the end of the discussion, they remember how they were saved. They remember that they had to be there as well. But God saved them. And then one of them says, أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بَمَيِّتِينَ إِلَّا مَوْتَتَنَا الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بُمُعَذَّبِينَ Is it true that we shall not die anymore? And that we shall not be punished? Because we deserve to be punished. But Allah now has told us that everything is gone. Now you are safe. You have arrived at the salvation. This is indeed the great success. Let all the workers, and this is of course what Allah says, لَمَثْلَ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ If you want to have ambition to work for something, work for this. Eternality, eternal bliss, as they call it. A second feature in paradise. Now, paradise is not just eating and drinking. That is physical manifestation. It is thinking and knowing. And I will talk about this sense of purpose in paradise, which is very important, because we very, very ignorant beings, we think that in this world we have purpose, in paradise we don't have purpose. And this is very funny if we think like that. Now, I'll talk about this later. Obliteration of ignorance. Wisdom becomes all-inclusive. And without wisdom, no one is let into paradise. And this wisdom should be completed to a minimum degree to let you in paradise. And then from there, the wisdom starts to grow and grow and grow. And this will happen by frequent visits of the Lord. We'll talk about that. Visits of the Lord. Now, the purpose there is very high. Look at these verses. لَا أَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كَذَّابًا Therein they shall hear neither vain talk nor belying. They do not belie each other. Whatever they say is out of wisdom. Why do we belie each other? Why do we reject each other's opinion? Because most of what we say is out of ignorance. Now, there is no ignorance there. Absolute wisdom. They will not hear therein any vain talk or sinful speech, but only the statement which is free from error. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا Of course, this is Jannatul Muqarrabun. However, the reflection of it is in Jannatul Ashab al-Yameen as well. In Jannatul Muqarrabun, wisdom is complete. Unification of physical and spiritual joy. Now, there is no difference. In this world, they are very separate. If you go towards physical, you lose spiritual. If you go towards the spiritual, you lose physical. There, each would add to the other. Your spiritual joy would add to your physical property and joy. And your physical joy would add to your spiritual joy. And this actually signifies the whole thing. Whatever you receive it from the Lord. سَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا Their Lord will give them to drink, a pure drink. Whatever is out of the remembrance of God or away from remembrance of God in this world is full of stress, worry, concern. That is why usually the enjoyments, because it diverts our attention from remembrance of God. It's something between joy and pain. There, because whatever is given to you is given from God. Look, if I drink this, and I think that this is a cup God has given it to me, how much I would enjoy it. And how much it would actually add to my spirituality if I drink it. Now, even in this world, we can be like that. We drink this knowing that this is what God has given it to us. And we enjoy it. That is why Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka min kulli ladhatin bighayr dhikrak. I ask you forgiveness, seek your forgiveness from every joy which was somehow away from your remembrance. Because that's not joy anymore. Joy is the real joy, the real happiness is when remembrance of Allah comes. And this is complete in paradise. So that is why there is no difference between spiritual and physical. Changing the concept of time. Now, do we have time there? Of course we have time there. Because we have physical life, we pass through stages. However, it's not like time here, which is measured by movement of physical objects. Time there is spiritual. Your stages determine what time is it, actually. Your spiritual stages determine what time is it. Now, when I was reading my favorite Christian friend, Swedenborg, you remember, we talked about the concept of time in Barzakh. And there he said that in Barzakh, these people have winter and summer. But that winter and summer is when their souls get a bit slanted, diverted from God for some reason, which he doesn't know. And their summer is when they turn. So the time is spiritual. Now, in paradise, this is absolutely correct. Your day is when the veils are taken. Your night is when the veils are dropped. And we have this in hadith, actually. Now, in the Quran, it says that there is morning and evening in paradise, isn't it? It says that لا يسمعون فيها لغوا إلا سلاما ولهم رزقهم فيها بكرة وعشية. Therein they will not hear vain talk, but only peace. And therein they will have their provision morning and evening. What is morning? What is evening? What's the meaning of that? Now, قيل إنهم يعرفون وقت النهار برفع الحجب ووقت الليل بإرخاء الحجب. Their day is when the veils are lifted, and their night is when God is concealed behind veil. So, your rest is not actually physical sleep. Your rest is when your soul gets some rest from that excitement of seeing God all the time, isn't it? You need rest. Your soul needs rest. Your body needs rest. That excitement would actually destroy us if the veils are... Of course, not always. All veils can be lifted because then everything will be destroyed. Just to the extent that the capacity can take it. So every day, a different veil is lifted, and every day is different from the other day. Every night you are waiting for the morning. You are waiting for the morning. And at the end of the day you are so exhausted that you wait for the night to come, to get some rest for tomorrow. Is there a purpose here? That is the real purpose, isn't it? What is the purpose in this life? What do we do? I mean, just you tell me, what is the purpose of human beings in this life? Forget about Akhirah. What is our purpose here? To find a good job? To do what? To get better food? To do what? To eat more food? I mean, what is real? The real purpose in this world? People think that because in paradise we may not have these false ambitions, there is no purpose. However, If you talk to someone who is a friend of God in this world, you realize what is the real purpose. They go through the most difficult hardships just to get one glance of that beauty. That is the real purpose of human being. This is why some people say there is nothing beyond love as a purpose in this world. But this physical love is just nothing compared to that love that our heart and soul have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what you will get in plenty in paradise. So, does it move? It's night now. Some rest. Okay. What has happened? Let me see if it moves by that. Oops. You see, even this computer is excited of paradise. Okay, let me see, what do I have next? Yeah, it's coming now. You see, it's afraid of you. Oh, it's the battery. No, it didn't even move. All right. Doesn't it work with this one? Okay, I work with this one. Now, hence, real sense of purpose is there. No one is bored, no one aspires for a change. Why should they aspire for a change when every day there's excitement of visiting a new face of God, a new beauty of Him? And this goes forever, non-stop, non-ending. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. To remain there forever, from where they will not seek to shift. Everyone likes their own stations and their own place where they are placed. As a result, the mirror of human soul expands a stage by a stage. And this is actually the passing of years and years and years. Again, the concept of time is the stages of human spiritual life. So yes, we grow there. We feel the sense of time, but it's not physical time, it's a spiritual time. The stages that we go through. Consequently, the outward appearance changes as well. You remember we said that here when we live more, we get older. In paradise, you live more, you get younger. Why? Not going towards childhood, of course. You get younger in your beauty, in your face. Now, there's a very story that Sadok mentions, a very beautiful story, and this is corroborated by many other traditions. He says that there were two people, of course it's a hadith, on Hisab, probably on Sirat. And one of them was poor, and another one was rich. And the poor one passed quickly and went. And of course he was telling to the rich man, or to God, or whatever, that, why should I stay here? I have nothing to answer. I didn't have anything in the world, so that Allah wants to bring the account of it for me. So he passed quickly and went. Allah approved what he said. And the older, the rich one, he had to wait and stay for accounting. Okay, what about that house? What about that garden? What about that swimming pool? What about, and all these things, okay? So he waited there for many, many years. And then he went to the paradise. And someone told him that, was it difficult? You were there, and why were you kept so long? He said, because Allah asked me so much, so many questions about where did you get this? How did you spend it? For example, according to Muslim, did you give the zakat and khums of it, or you didn't? And it took long. And then, by the way, who are you? How do you know I was kept there? He said, I'm the poor man beside you. I was standing beside you. He said, Subhanallah, you have changed so much. I cannot recognize you anymore. Just for that period that he was in paradise, the face was changed to an extent that this man could not recognize him anymore. Now, if the faces change, so is it not the case that after a while you can recognize each other in paradise? No, it's not the case. Just like when our children grow with us, when all of us grow together, of course, we recognize each other. We realize who we are. So, and this outward appearance is actually an indication of the inward change. Your soul expands and expands and expands. Every manifestation of the road, every day that the hijab is lifted, your soul absorbs certain things, which makes it grow more, and wait for tomorrow to see what sort of bliss Allah has in store for him to give him. As the internal state changes, the environment outside becomes even more beautiful. So if initially you live in a palace, for example, and you feel a beauty, but tomorrow is not the same. It has a different beauty. You sleep at night, or you get rest at night, waiting for tomorrow to see how your palace, your rooms, your companions, your servants, your maids, how are they going to look? So, even more beautiful, the food, the clothing, the housing, mating, friendship, will all find new excitement, day by day. That is probably why they are regarded important in the Quran. Because they are just the outward manifestation of something which cannot be described. Cannot be described in human terms. Look at this expression in Surah Ad-Dahr. مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ لَا يَرَوْنَ فِيهَا شَمْسًا وَلَا زَمْهَرِيرًا. Okay, just the English. Reclining therein on couches, they will find in it neither any scorching sun nor any biting cold. Its shades will be close over them, and its clusters of fruits will be hanging low, so that whenever they wish, they just stretch out and take fruits from it. They will be served around with vessels of silver and goblets of, was it? Crystal. Crystal of silver from which they dispense in precise measure. They say how much of this they can drink today to become to that sort of excitement. Now, there's one very interesting thing mentioned in this surah, is that you are given two different drinks with two different sort of flavors. One is ginger and the other one is camphor, isn't it? وَيَسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زنجبيلة. They drink from a cup which is mixed with zanjabil. And inna al-abrar yashrabuna min ka'sin kana mizajuha kafura. Now, what's the significance of these two? When do you need the kafur cup? When do you need the zanjabil cup? At night, when hijabs are dropped, you need this kafur to calm you down, isn't it? Because you are in that excitement of beauty of the Lord. And in the morning, you'll need these cups with zanjabil to excite you and to actually stimulate you for those spiritual experiences that you will have, inshallah, with new beauty of Allah. And they will be waited upon by immortal youths. These are, of course, servants, whom when you see them, you will suppose them to be scattered pearls. Now, they say these immortal youths are children who have not done any acts, have not performed any act of devotion in this world, so they cannot gain this place. However, they are in paradise. They live in paradise. But they serve. And they, I don't know this, if this is true or not, but they gain this sort of pleasure which befits their nature of entering paradise without any action, without obtaining anything. As you look, you will see their bliss and a great kingdom. Upon them will be cloaks of green silk and brocade, and they will be adorned with bracelets of silver. Now, all these physical beauties and luxuries. So this luxury is one other thing. Art and luxury finds its ultimate expression there. Now, here, you know, people are always fascinated by art. But this is not art. This is just something very gruesome. What is there is art. The real art you will see there, which is, again, physical manifestation of spiritual in a lofty paradise wherein they will not hear any vain talk. In it there is a flowing spring. In it there are raised couches and goblets set and cushions laid out in an array and carpets spread out. You see the luxury which by which Allah... And I have mentioned this before. Whenever Quran wants to describe paradise, it uses foreign words, not Arab words, not Arabic terms. Foreign terms like Greek, like Persian, like Abyssinian. Why? Because it wants to say that this is a very exotic place. This is not something that you are used to. It's very, very different from what you have ever seen or heard. Okay, these are, again, some of the descriptions of the luxury. And you dwell wherever you wish. You do whatever you want. And you have whatever you wish. Whatever, absolutely, there is no restriction. Now look at this verse. وَقَالُوا at the end of Surah Zumar, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعَدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْعَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِئْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. They say, all praise belongs to Allah who has fulfilled His promise to us and made us heirs to the earth that we may settle in. That means this earth belongs to us now, wherever we want to go and dwell and live in those palaces. We can. How excellent is the reward of the workers of righteousness. Now, if this is the case, everyone would wish to go and just sit, have his house beside the Prophet, isn't it? Or her house. No, it's not the case. It's so unfamiliar for them that they don't want to go there. Everyone finds their familiar place, the place which is very comfortable for them, because every soul has a place there that just by a very quick search of paradise, they will find where they have to settle. So there is no sort of interference at all. Everyone chooses where they want to live, and everyone chooses exactly what belongs to them. This is how the verse is explained, that أَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّعُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. Wherever we wish, we can settle in. And of course, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They will have whatever they wish near the Lord. Now, this near the Lord is even more important than whatever they wish. Just feeling that you are living in the neighborhood of Allah. That is the greatest grace. They will be served around with golden dishes and goblets, and therein will be whatever the soul desire. مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنْفُسِ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. Now, there are two things are mentioned here. First of all, you desire things, and it's there for you. Second, you see things. It's exactly what you enjoy from it. So, inward and outwards, both will come to the same thing, what you wish, what you enjoy, what you have the pleasure of. And if this is where we are going, so it's worth to be serious about many things. Now, induction to paradise, okay, unfortunately we don't have time for this very, very beautiful piece, how people are inducted into their houses, into their places, and then how frequently they get a visit or a presence of the Lord, how they don't want to come back, and how Allah convinces them that you have to go back and come next week, which is 700 years later. And all these things, inshallah, in one other session. Because next session, we have to deal with hell, unfortunately. That's the... Yeah, I added it tonight, sorry. Just to surprise you. Any questions? No, no, both. Physical and spiritual, both. But no children, yes. No hassle. Yes.
You said the only way to get to Jannah is to follow the Prophet, or just the Prophet came to Jannah. But Surah Mulk, the people who were taken to hell, they say that had we listened or had we used our aqal, we wouldn't be here. So is it possible to get
possible, but how these people would get to paradise, we don't know. They are just like flocked without a shepherd, you see. So how Allah would arrange it, we don't know. Yeah. Yes. Anyhow, there are people of the past, isn't it? Compared to us, there are people of the past. Isn't it? Now, you see... You can explain it in that way, but you see, if now someone comes and tells me, because these verses were revealed at the time of the Prophet, so Awwalin cannot be the contemporaries of the Prophet. They are the Akhirin, actually. Because we are always at the end of the time, isn't it? Now we are at the end of the time. At that time, the companions of the Prophet were at the end of the time. So Awwalin should refer to those who went before them, not, of course, those who were contemporaries of the Prophet. And the second, about me. Physically, it's out of question. When we talk about seeing God, experiencing, it's all spiritual, it's all by heart. Yeah. Seeing is out of question. Yeah. Yes. No, it doesn't say that because they are the foremost or from the people of the past, they have more faith. It says there are three groups. One are those who have more faith, sabiqun. One are ashabul yamin, and one are... But sabiqun, when he describes, he says there are the number of sabiqun from the past people is more than the number from the people who come later. The reason is, as we get somehow farther and farther from our original father, we get farther and farther from spirituality, from God. You just see what science has done to this world. It has brought atheism as a gift, isn't it? Although science is a barakah, is a bliss, I mean, no doubt about it, it is the evil inside us which turns everything. Yeah, knowledgeable, there is a subject for that knowledge. Knowledgeable towards analyzing this world, isn't it? But not knowledgeable towards God, isn't it? Is it? They didn't have Darwin, isn't it? Yes. The people are paradise. Oh, hum wa azwajuhum fi zalalin. Okay. Now, azwaj has two meanings. One is those who are similar to them in their attitude and spirituality. So, people live in clusters. You remember when we talked in Barzakh, we said that people live in clusters. In Jannah also, people live in clusters. And people of the same, so to say, like-minded, now we say like-spirited people, they come together, these hum wa azwajum. Or it may refer to their wives and husbands and these things, yeah. Yeah, he says. Yeah, they are from shuhada, isn't it? Shuhada means witnesses. Ji'a bin nabiyyin wa shuhada. Why Allah brings the prophets to bear witness? If they cannot see, how can they bear witness? So these verses in Surah Tawbah are actually explained to us in this way: wa qul amalu fasayara Allahu amalakum wa rasuluhu. والمؤمنون. Now, Imam Ali Musallam said that yes, Rasulullah can see the a'mal of the ummah. And mu'minun here refers to imams who are successors of the Prophet. They can see the a'mal of the ummah as well. Because then they have to adduce witness. Now, there is one other verse about Isa alayhi salam and says that وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now this, Allah being raqib or watch over people, we know that this knowledge is certainly given to certain people by Allah. And this is how they can see and they can know, they can realize by faces. I mean, in the verse I mentioned, the people of A'raf, they know everyone by their face. How do they know it? So... Okay? Inshallah. No, I don't remember. Inshallah. Inshallah. Until next week in the hell, inshallah.